sea. A ship was tossing to and fro. Breakers dashed on every hand. Angry winds that wind did blow. All on board were filled with fright as the mighty billows rolled. Then they called upon the one who the winds and waves controlled. When he reaches down his hand, billows cease at his command. Winds and waves obey his will when he says to them, be still. What man is this, they all did say, that the winds and seas obey? He's the one who sails with me. He's the master of the sea. Though the storms of life may rage and the billows round you roll, he can calm life's troubled sea as he did in days of old. As upon life's sea you sail, trust in him who never fails. I'm so glad he sails with me. He's the master of the sea. When he reaches out his hand, billows cease at his command. Winds and waves obey his will when he says to them, be still. What man is this, they all did say, that the winds and seas obey? He's the one who sails with me. He's the master of the sea. When he reaches out his hand, billows cease at his command. Winds and waves obey his will when he says to them, be still. What man is this, they all did say, that the winds and seas obey? He's the one who sails with me. He's the master of the sea. He's the one who sails with me. He's the master of the sea.
All right. He recovered from that beating pretty well, didn't he? All right. I didn't get that. Did they say hipsters beat you up? Okay, if you don't go to the couples retreat, that's what's going to happen to you. So hope to see you there. Actually, if you don't come, the hipsters won't beat you up. Your wife will. Okay. All right, we're back to our lesson. We have the handouts and everything on stepping up. Whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. We've mentioned on many occasions it takes commitment. Brother Zeke, can I have just a little more on the monitor? It takes commitment to be a disciple. We'll look a little more at that as we get into the last few points here. We're going through our next steps, and we're just going through them a little more in depth. We said number one, we start with salvation, and we went all through that. Number two, we go through devotion. Number three, connect to others. That's in our adult Bible classes. And then for the last few weeks, we've been on commitment to church, and we'll finish that up, okay? We went through the first, I always call them letters, but they're, I mean numbers, but they're letters. A, B, C, D, E, F, you see that there, and G. The last one is this. We mentioned it last week, and we'll finish it today. Let's love our church, okay? Let's love our church. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 and 29. Husband, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. I don't understand these people that are anti-church, even in Christianity. You know, well, it's not about church. It's just about a relationship with Jesus Christ. And it is about a relationship with Jesus Christ. Actually, Zeke, it's kind of muffled up here. I don't know why. But it's more than that, okay? He wants us to have a relationship with others who are also saved. We do that perfect. We do that through the church. And so it's very important we have a church. Verse 29, no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church, okay? When you love something, We kind of gave an introduction to loving church last week. When you love something, though, there are things that you will naturally want to do for it. The same should be true in the church. By the way, that's why everybody needs to have a church. Not go to church. I want you to go to church. But you need to have a church. Some people are content with attending and going here, there, or the other. You need a church that you can commit to and that you become a member of, and you're a part of the fellowship. You're a part of the ministry that takes place here. You're in, okay? The church people are your people and so forth. If you have that right kind of love relationship, there are four things you will want to do for your church. And I think you have blanks there. The first one is this. We will want to protect it. Protect it. Now, the husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church. So, husband, you are going to be protective of your wife. Okay? Protective. You're supposed to be protective of the church. If this is your, look, no one's going to come to me and, you know, come up and start criticizing my wife or my family, you know, and they don't need to. I can do that for enough for everybody. I got that covered. But no, you know, someone's going to come to you, you know, your wife's a real jerk. It's like, how many of you that's going to go over very well? None. Most people, by the way, most people have enough common sense not to say anything. All right, even if they feel that way about somebody, they're not going to go up and say, you know, that's just common sense. But it's amazing how people will be critical of the church. Okay? Protect the church. Now, is any church perfect? No. Why? Because you're members. Okay? I'm a member. But, God, although we're not perfect, we can function together. We can work together. We can work through whatever issues there are. Let's make sure that we are protective. Don't let people say things about the church. Okay? Don't let that happen. Yeah, you know, that choir special is pretty good, but, you know, I put my kid in the nursery and they, do you know, by the way, there are two sides to every story? You never hear the other side. And let me just say this. The fact of the matter is, in any church, sometimes people leave, right? That happens. Church isn't for them or whatever. But it's always amazing when someone leaves the church. It's amazing how a lot of them don't even go to another church. That tells you something about the problem right there. But it's always got to be somebody's fault, right? That's how people are. And they say things, and if you listen to these things, you don't know the whole story. You ought to get both sides of the story. The fact of the matter is, you ought not to listen. Okay? Let's protect our church. What we allow others to say. Listening to backbiters. That hurts. By the way, people in our church and they don't want to believe like we believe. They'll go behind your back. They'll go behind my back and talk to you about doctrines we don't believe. That's wrong. Tell them to shut up. You know what? That's mean. My granddaughter's going to say, we can't say that. I know, but I'm not you. You know, refrain from speaking. Okay? That's causing division. And by the way, if they leave this church, they shouldn't be calling you. Shouldn't be trying to get you to go to their church. Okay? They shouldn't be giving you other material. Okay? Last time I checked, some guy on the internet is not your pastor. Okay? That's not how it works. That's just not how it works. And you know, by the way, that's always been the case. You know, in the early days of the church, we were a Cambodian church. There was a Cambodian charismatic congregation. And what they would do is they would go visit other churches. Fact of the matter is, the church we used to rent over on 8th and Atlantic, First Friends Church, they had a service before ours, and pastor's office was up by their stage, and so pastor and I would meet there during their service as we were preparing for our service, and I heard this on several times. They would just get up and start praying during the service. And it was real charismatic type thing. And they would almost take over the service at the end, and then they'd go up to the members like, you're missing the spirit. You need to come to our church. And they split that church. They came to our church once. They sat up and said, oh, Jesus, said, sit down and be quiet. You don't like it, leave. Okay, there's the door, use it. We don't allow that here. Okay, and people do that. You know, we found these new doctrines. I mean, we're more fundamental than you. Okay, that's sowing discord. Look, if someone wants to go to another church, go. If someone is in our church and don't like our church, don't criticize, either fix the problem or leave. And we don't have people here doing that right now, but I'm just saying, so often if we have a problem with somebody, we want to stir things up instead of just going to them saying, hey, you know, do you have something against me? Because 99 times out of 100, that'll fix the problem. It's like, no, I don't have anything against you. Oh, I kind of thought maybe you did. And then next thing you know, you're going out to eat together. Okay, let's be Christians about this. But it's our duty to protect this place. Okay, and so let's be protective of it. And by the way, we're not changing what we're believing. There's two ways you do that. You get ultra crazy fundamental on this side, coming up with stuff God hasn't even figured out yet. Okay, hating everybody. Or you go ultra liberal on this side. You know, how come you don't have a praise team? You want to know why? We're not going to have a bunch of people up here dressed like they just got back from the beach. Okay? Women up here in tight clothing praising Jesus with some song that has the spiritual nourishment of a donut. You know? Oh, in my misery, I ran to the cloud. Good. I hope you get rained on. You know, it's almost like they're not singing to God, they're yelling at, we worship you. Okay. You know, that's not who we are. We've had people come here, nice people, Christians, a couple years ago, my wife knows, and they're like, man, the lady came, and then she brought her boyfriend, they liked the church, they really liked us. You know, the guy told me, man, I like you. I'm like, well, that's probably your problem right there. They left because it's like, man, I like the rock and roll church. I got to go back. At least they were honest. Okay? That's not who we are. You know, I remember when we started church in Monterey Park and they had all those new people flood in right off the bat. And it's like, pastor's like, we know the questions they're going to ask. Do you always use the King James Bible? And is that the kind of songs you're going to sing? And sure enough, some lady came out. Is that how you guys do worship? I'm like, I assume you're talking about singing. Singing is not necessarily worship. It can lead to that. But it's like, you know, very kindly, it's like, yeah, that's this kind of, this is work more conservative. This is who we are. And that's okay. But when people try to change you, when people try to cause division, that's where we stand up as a church and say, that's not who we are. Okay? So let's protect it. Just like you would protect your family. I want to bring this into your family. We're not bringing that into my family. Okay. Next, we will want to participate in it. Participate. We will want to be a part of what is going on. Okay? By the way, you know whose church this is? It's our church. Every single one of us. And if this church is going to go somewhere, if we are going to accomplish what God wants us to accomplish, it is going to take the effort of everybody, not just a few. You know the Pareto principle, right? 20% of the people do 80% of the work. Okay? Spiritually speaking, in most churches, I wonder if it's a Pareto principle or it's the 10 leper principle. One person, one out of 10 does the work. Now, I think we beat that here. And by the way, let's keep it that way. All right? Let's getting involved. Hey, teenagers, we've always, our thing has always been teenagers get involved. You don't have to wait till you're an adult. Don't wait till you're in Bible college. You know, we have bus routes. Get on those bus routes. Get outside of yourself. And I know some of you parents think, you know, your kids are going to go on the bus route and they're going to hear words that they only hear at my in-law's house. Okay? And by the way, I'm going to be honest with you. It's kind of true. Our kids, I don't know, they've all been on bus routes, and they'll come back and say, whoa. Remember one time Allison came, and she felt bad. There was two kids out on the sidewalk, and the mother's out there just cussing at them. I mean, bad cuss words. Now, do I want my daughter using those words? No, but I'm glad that she can see there's a difference, and there's children and families that need help. Well, that's not so. Okay, well, I'll watch cussing a movie. That's a whole different thing. You're choosing to do that. You know, but listen, let's get involved. I don't know what the age of working the nerd, whatever. It just let's participate in what we're doing here. You'll be more excited when you're involved in what's going on. Participation. Okay? There are all kinds of things, you know, from small things to big. The attitude to have is this. I like this. If the church is doing it, I'm in.
Amen.
Okay? I'm in. Amen. We don't try. Now, fall time of the year is a little bit busier. We do have a lot more going on. I mean, we have friend day, one by one, couples retreat, fall program. You know, I don't know what else we have. We have activities and stuff, but we don't try to load your schedule up, okay? We have church services on Sunday, Thursday night, and then during the times we have Tuesday soul winning, everything else is, we don't try to load you up. But when there's things going on, let's get involved. Amen. It's like, man, I'm going to participate. My church is in on this. I'm in on it, okay? Friend day, I'd start getting my friends. I'm like, I want to be a part of this. We come here and all the people are here and we got to rent the extra chairs and wish we had the auditorium over there. I'm in on that. I want to be a part of it. One by one, if I'm not working, count me in. I'm going to be here. Missions, I appreciate it. You were all in on missions, okay? Giving to the missionaries we want to support, and then also participating in the special offering, being in the services. Thank you for being all in. But let's make sure that we're doing that on a regular basis, okay? Number three, it's not numbered, but I think there's a bullet there. We will want to provide for it. Want to provide for it. Again, look at the illustration of the family. You know, if your family or your spouse needs anything because we love them, we'll want to help them to get that. Yeah. If it's within reason, it doesn't cost too much. But we want to help them get it. They're neat, you know. That's just how it is. We love somebody. We want to provide things for them and give things for them. That's what we need to be. If this is our church, let's give with it. Let's give the way we're supposed to. By the way, who are we really giving and working for anyhow? The Lord, that's all. So just see it as a way of serving your Lord. God's way to meet the needs of the church is primarily through the people in the church. Now, we all wish that we just pray every week and God backs a Brinks truck up and unloads. I'd kind of be in on that. Okay? But if God gave us all that, we'd probably use the money incorrectly because we'd be spoiled brats, right? But listen, because we all participate, we all give, we do what we can to make sure that we use the money correctly and we use it wisely. But God wants us to be involved with that. God wants us to be involved in outreach. Boy, I want to reach this city, Brother Myers. I want us to go out. Boy, yes, I like seeing people come to church. Then get out there, invite somebody, and help them get to church. You know, my Sunday school class, I liked when we see new people coming in. That's great. Go get a new person and help them come in. Okay, be a part of it. Workers, you know. Wow, I'm glad I have a place to put my little Harold, you know, when he's crying and I come to church, I don't have to hold the baby. That's great, but you ought to take a turn in there also holding other people's babies. Let's all be a part of it. Let's provide for the needs. Then the last thing, certainly most important, is we will pray for it. Pray for it. We do all that we can, of course, but God ultimately makes up what we need. But we have to do our part. We ought to pray. Lord, we want God to do something, right? Look, someone has said on many occasions, if you could explain what's going on, then God's not doing it. Does that make sense? How did that happen? Well, let me explain exactly how that happened. God did it. Now, we did our part. Don't get me wrong. We weren't slack, but God's the one who blesses. God's the one that makes things happen. You know, we can do what we can to share the gospel, but we can't make people accept Christ. We can do what we can to encourage people, but only God can change their life. And so let's just keep that. So let's love our church. Let's love this church. All right, number five, switching gears. We're going to move to the fifth step. which is in step three right there. There's two. This is the serving God section. How do we serve God? We talked about loving God by our salvation and our devotion to Him. We talked about loving others, being a part of our adult Sunday school classes, and then being a part of the church. Now let's talk about serving God. There's two areas that help us do this. Number five, personal discipleship. Personal discipleship. Now, all of this is in the realm of discipleship because this is what we teach to help us. Discipleship is really as we look at discipleship, it's really a process whereby we grow in our faith and we grow as a disciple. You got saved by trusting Christ. Now God wants you to go forward from that point to grow, to become closer to Him, that type of thing. Just grow in our faith, really start to understand it, understand what the Bible is, get into it, find out what God wants from you. That's discipleship. But when you grow, it means something. There's two things there. You see that? First is a deeper commitment. Deeper commitment. As you grow as a disciple, you don't just grow in head knowledge, you know. You grow through, you start school when you're five, kindergarten, and you graduate when you're in 12th grade. Now, hopefully along that line, you mature, become kind of an adult. Now, I got to 12th grade, and I can tell you, I did not mature very much, okay? That's probably why I didn't get a diploma. I did not mature. Now, I could do the work, to be real honest with you. The schoolwork was no problem. The fact of the matter is, I just didn't want to go to class. But listen, the way I acted, I did not act like I had become an adult. I was just still acting like a knucklehead. Right, Robert? It's because I hung around with you. Or was it because you hung around with me? Because we hang around with Pastor Esposito, that's right. But he became like that because he hanged around with Brother Johnny. But Brother Johnny became like that because he hung around with my older brother, Jack. So it's my family's fault, something like that. Okay? But just because we're older in the faith doesn't necessarily mean we mature. We only mature when we're growing and we're really getting what God wants us to get. And that takes a deeper commitment. The more you grow as a Christian, now listen to this, the more you grow as a Christian, the more committed you will be as a Christian. Amen. These people that go to church, I've been in church 10 years, and you know, we teach these little lessons, and boy, I'm really growing in my faith, and they're just like an unsaved person. I doubt that seriously. Yeah. Not that you're going to be some Pharisee, but you're going to be more committed to God, right? You ought to be more committed to God now than you were 5 years ago. 10 years ago, 20 years ago. So it takes a deeper commitment. The more you grow, the deeper your roots will be also. It amazes me sometimes how easy someone gets shaken from their faith. As I mentioned, you know, sometimes people leave the church, they have problems. You know, I hate to see people go, but if you go and you get connected to another really good church, so be it. But how often they don't. And they don't even go to church, and it's like, what's going on? There was a faith disconnect there. Maybe their system was more than it was just church, and it wasn't really a deep commitment to the Lord. When you have deep roots with the Lord, you're not going to bail on Him. You're going to be more committed to Him. But the less you grow, the easier it is to be moved. Okay? I mentioned, a long time ago, we bought our house. They had these two trees right up in the little dirt area. If you've been to my house where all those, like, I think they're palm trees or something like that, or over there. And they had these two trees there. And they were about they were just a little bit over the height of our roof. And I don't know who came. Someone came to our house and said, you know what kind of trees those are? We're like, no. They're like, those are the kind of trees that are over at the park, those huge, huge, huge trees with all the roots. The guy goes, you need to get those out of there right now, or they're going to start getting into your, not sewer, no, they're going to get into the foundation of the house. They're right up against the house. So I'm like, I got a shovel. And I'm like, they're coming out. And I got out there, and I don't know, it took a while, but I got it, and I yanked the thing out. And by the way, it was hard, but I got it out. But I'll tell you what, if those roots really started taking root like they did at the park, those things ain't coming out. The deeper the roots are, the more solid you'll be. The more superficial your roots are, the easier it is to be pulled up. And so we need to work on that. And then also, growth means decisive change. Decisive change. Growth is not just, as I mentioned earlier, a head knowledge thing. The head knowledge leads to a heart change, which will lead to a life change. You know, you cannot separate the way we live from what we believe. You cannot separate, you know, our lifestyle from our commitment to God and our growth in the faith. The two are just interconnected all the way around. Now, that's one reason it scares people, you know. They don't want to change. I've known people, you know, you'll ask them about salvation. They're like, you know, man, I don't want to change. Okay, now you don't have to change to get saved, but if you're afraid of that, I wonder if you're even ready to get saved. I don't even think you know how bad your sin is. Now, I didn't even think about all that. I just knew my sin was horrible in God's eyes, and I needed to run to the Savior. Okay, the other stuff all sorted itself out when the Spirit of God started indwelling me. So, decisive change. Growth brings change. It always does. Let me give you some thoughts here. Letter A. So we're looking at personal discipleship. Letter A, that starts with the personal decision to be a disciple. The personal decision to be a disciple. Now, if you weren't here at the beginning of the summer when we started this, we've already seen how that works in our earlier studies. Look at the verses. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him get a bumper sticker, grab a Bible and a cup of coffee and head to a Bible study. Now, none of that's true, but you can still get the coffee. He says, let him deny himself. Take up his cross and follow me. Luke 14:33. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Those are some pretty heavy things, aren't they? Yeah. And none of those, we'll look at them in a second, none of those will take place on accident. You have to decide for them to take place. You have to make a decision. Right? Jesus asked for commitment two ways. First one is follow. He said, follow me. And I don't like the way we throw that term around. I'm a Christ follower. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you're a Christ follower. Can I get a witness on that? They don't want to be called Christians. We're Christ followers. Be a Christian who is a Christ follower. That's what I want. I want both. I hope you follow Christ. You got to know where he's going, though, if you're going to follow him, okay? But that's a good goal. We ought to just, hey, follow me. Think of yourself. Put yourself in the Bible. You're a fisherman or whatever you are, or you're a tax collector, Matthew. And Jesus walks by one day and says, follow me. Would you do it? Because that meant a lot back then. You know, it's silly. We talk about persecution in our country. We don't have persecution. You know what persecution in our country is? My water heater went out. Our washing machine went out. Brother, we were under heavy persecution. My wife had to go to the laundromat. I mean, pray for us, seriously. I told Brother Board and the church in Cambodia took an offering up for us so we can get our washer fixed. Okay? That's not persecution. You know, someone slammed a door on me when I was knocking on their door for a track. Ow. Did you get a boo-boo? We don't know what persecution is, do we? Some of the people that in the Bible that were asked to follow, they really suffered persecution. You know what I'm saying? So let's not. Now, I understand, you know, sometimes family members don't understand us, that type of thing. And I get it. But let's not misunderstand here. still in America, it really doesn't cost a lot to follow Christ. Now, I will say, things are changing. You know that. Christianity is kind of on the outs in our country. But Jesus asked for commitment. Follow me. And then he said, forsake. Okay? Forsake. He talks about deny himself. Take up your cross. There's some things we'll just have to, that anything that would get in our way of following Christ needs to go. That's a big one. Just think in your life. If there are there some things, and sometimes the things may not even be wrong. They just be something that maybe you just are a little bit too connected to. And maybe you need to say, you know, I need to set these aside if it's going to affect my relationship with Christ, if it's going to affect me following him. Then he set forth requirements that we don't like that. Our new Christianity wants to talk about being Christ followers and loving Jesus and having a passion for God. Okay? And just come. And I get it. We come just as we are, but we'll never stay as we were. There are requirements. Look what he said. Denial. Denial. Deny himself. The very act of choosing to follow Christ means we are denying following self. Okay? If we want to just live our life and add Jesus on top of it and say, come on, Lord, go for a ride with me. That's not denial. Okay? That's convenience. We ought to say, Lord, I'm on board with you. Where are we going? What do you want? Denial. Self always gets in the way. I know me. If I know me, I'm pretty sure it's you too. Okay? And then determination. Take up that cross. You cannot be my disciple. Let's just be determined that, you know what? I am going to follow Christ. But none of it. We'll never follow, we'll never forsake, we'll never deny, we'll never be determined if we don't decide to be. Are we going to be his disciple? Are we just going to be a multitude of those who are Christians, who are content with just coming to church and not taking another step, not getting any more committed, not really open to whatever God wants? If you're going to be this kind of disciple God wants you to be, you got to be open to all that. You ought to say, Lord, I'm in. I'm in. Some of you young ones growing up, like, well, I've been in the church since I was in the nursery. There's going to come a time you need to say, this isn't my parents' faith. This is my faith. You know, if you live in my house, you're going to come to church and you're going to do the things we do. That's just how it works. We don't wake a little five-year-old up and say, are you ready to go to church today? They're going to church, okay? And they know that and they're good with it. This is who we are. It's going to come a day they need to decide on their own. You're going to need to decide on your own. Hey, listen, this isn't, I'm just not following, you know, everything I'm in. And some of you have been saved and you're here, you need to take it a step further and say, I don't want to just be saved. I really want to know Christ and I really want to do what he wants me to do. Lord, I'm in. I'm in. That's what a disciple does. Let's pray.